We're going to talk about responding to Jesus with a humble heart. Responding to Jesus with a humble heart. We've been talking about responding to Jesus this season. On the back of your bulletin there, or your notes, is a passage of Scripture from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. And I want us to walk through that just for a moment, and then we'll launch into the other portion of the message. Here we go. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? Pretty much calls you to everything you could possibly ever be. Then he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Just go ahead and tell the person next to you, I do have the mind of Christ. The Bible says I do. And here's what that mind is like. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. Would you say that? He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the Christmas story, Christ's exaltation verse, because it shows us that Jesus Christ has emptied himself from the privileges of being God. And then he humbled himself even to the point of death to become our Savior. And because of that, we're told, you see what he did? You do likewise. Have the same mind. In other words, don't grasp for position, even though you have it. Are you there? I remember watching one of the skit guys. There's two guys, Tommy and Eddie. And Tommy was asked by the church where he goes. He was asked if he and his wife were asked if their newborn baby could play Jesus. And this is a real thing. And so it's the night of the performance, the nativity performance, you know, and the kids are coming. And he's sitting there and he's looking. And there's this little vulnerable baby in the arms of a teenage girl. And he's suddenly aware she could drop him. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him. As a father, Father God, saying to Tommy, you see what I see, don't you? I trusted my only son to a teenager. Even Father God is humble. Jesus, yes, he came down. His humility, he came through. But Father God humbled his heart and offered his son, who became a little baby in the arms of a teenager. Wow. So I want us to look into the Christmas story now in Matthew chapter 1 verse 18, and I want to look at this concept of the humble heart. The mega theme of the Christmas story, the mega theme, the big theme, is humility. It's humility. If the people, the characters in the story weren't humble, it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked. Jesus couldn't come. If everybody was full of pride, we'd never had Jesus be able to get down here. So what is a humble heart like? What does it do? Can I tell you, number one, a humble heart receives correction. Don't you think so? Have you ever struggled with receiving correction? How many have had blind spots in your life? And you just certain that it should be a certain way, and then the Lord corrects you, and you just want to cry your guts out. Because what you were doing was all wrong, because you couldn't see it because of pride. I know by personal experience that pride blinds a person. It blinds me. And the Lord said, the reason that the things are going wrong and that you feel offended, or that you feel a sense of having to defend yourself, or you feel like you must compare or do any of that stuff, is because you're not humble. You have pride. And pride is the place where strife abounds. But humility is the place where peace abounds. Why? Because you can receive correction. How many of you have struggled occasionally, maybe a little bit, with pointing out an area where you need to be corrected because things aren't right? Is that right? And the Christmas story is all about this. Starting with verse 18 in Matthew chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Sound like a good idea? I mean, come on, when's the last time a woman walks up to a man and says, God did it? I'm pregnant because God did it. And he's like, oh, wow, I don't buy that at all. But except for the next verse, we wouldn't have Jesus today. Watch what happens. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill. Now, this is Matthew talking, and Matthew writes primarily to the Jewish people. So every time he can find a passage in the Old Testament to prove that this is a fulfillment of Jewish prophetic words about Christ, he always puts them in there. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Here's verse 24. Are you ready for the humble verse? When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Pride wouldn't have done it. Pride would not have said, but humility says, I'm correctable. I'm going to make a course correction in my thinking because God is instructing me, even though it's unbelievable. Even I can't wrap my head around it. It's not really, I can't imagine this. But because in a dream, God said it's so. Then he says, he rose up, woke from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took his wife, but knew her not. In other words, he didn't have sexual relationship with her until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's look at the verse there, Psalm 25 on your notes there, Psalm 25, 9. I love this verse. He leads the humble in what is right. He leads the humble in what is right. You want to underline that? He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. He leads the humble in what is right. If you want to know what is right, humble your heart, and the Lord will teach you. If you don't know what's right, humble your heart, and you'll be taught. Because he teaches the humble his way. Humility is so key. Humility, the mega theme. Is that right? How well do each of us receive correction? How well are we open to the instruction of the Lord and to be changed and make a course correction in your life? Is there a course correction the Lord's making in your life now? Are there things that have been rather bumpy? And if you humble your heart, God smooth it out. Am I talking to anybody or just myself in the mirror? because we can get all ego invested. We can get all wrapped up in what we think. But we're given this exemplary model through Joseph that in the midst of what he thought was what, as a righteous guy, as a just man, as a person not willing to put this his betrothed to shame, think, well, we'll just divorce her secretly and do the right thing. You can even be thinking you're doing the right thing. Are you hearing me? Is anybody hearing the real message? You can think you're doing the right thing and be all wrong. But when you humble your heart, you end up being taught the right thing by the Lord. Are you available to be instructed in doing the right thing from the Lord? This season, right now. Are you open to being changed and transformed and made course corrections in your lives? It's so important, isn't it? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and look at number two. Number two, a humble heart receives grace. A humble heart receives grace. And we're going to continue on in the story. I want to get kind of involved in point two, okay? And then point three won't be so long. So there's hope at the end. If they were symmetrically, you go, we're never going to get out of here. But three is lazy, so four has got, I mean, two has got some. There's not a four, is there? I don't think so. Grace involves God's protection, God's provision, God's direction, God's empowerment. Grace is received when you humble your heart. So I want to continue with the story here, starting with Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. I want to just kind of let's just walk the journey together. Just stay attuned with me, would you? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, everybody say Herod. Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he? Now, here's the wise men coming up. Where is he who was born the king of the Jews? Everybody say that, king of the Jews. I'm going to insert this right now. I'm going to go ahead and insert this right now. It'll make sense, okay? Herod the Great did so much in the advancement of built Masada, you know, rebuilt the walls around the temple, did so many things. But and he had been linked up with Caesar Augustus. All this massive, but he was a cruel man. And anyway, when he got, he was very politically savvy and did a lot of great things, but he was very, very cruel. And the wickedness of this man, he would do anything for personal gain and break the law and kill anybody. That's the kind of person this is. And when the Roman Senate put him into position, they called him the king of the Jews. He was called the king of the Jews. And when the wise men came and they said, where is the king of the Jews? It was a whole nother level. A whole nother level of reaction in him. Where is he who is born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. That's my title. And all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and the scribes, the people together. By the way, he is known for murdering. This man murdered, he had about 10 wives. He murdered several of them, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. I think he killed off about 3 of his own children. This is a bad man. And inquired of them where the Christ was to be born, and they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. So as it is written of the prophet, O you, there he is, here's Matthew again, propping in those scriptures. O you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least of the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And being this politically savvy, two-faced fella, Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Ha, ha, ha. And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And this is the most amazing, to me, the most amazing verse. Behold, the star that they had seen when it rose, it went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Is that a star? Was that an angel glowing in the night sky? What was that? Maybe they got their sights on it, and it says, well, you think I'm a star, but I'm just going to come down here. And he led him right to where he was. And behold, the star that they had seen, when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now mark this part here. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now we'll continue. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Are you hearing me? There's four times in this passage that Joseph has dreams and he responds. Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. He just got right up and went right then. And remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. I want to just take a moment and say, listen, when Herod died, he had very, very bad things happening in his body. They thought it was, by the reports, doctors tried to figure out, it seemed like he had chronic kidney disease, and he had this kind of a gangrene working in his body. He was, like I said, a very vicious, the descriptions as a madman who murdered his own family and a great many rabbis. The evil genius of the Judean nation. These are historic thoughts about him. The greatest builder in Jewish history. But it says, prepared to commit any crime in order to gratify his unbounded ambition. This is the nature of this man. And when he dies, it's excruciating. He is so taken by the fact that because he's so evil, that nobody will mourn his funeral. Nobody will mourn his death. So he brings a bunch of dignified people in the town and he tells his kids, when I die, you kill them so people will mourn. And they didn't kill anybody. And this whole thing, then the kingdom is divided. And one of his sons gets half of it and the other gets a fourth and a fourth. And one's up in the Galilean area and the other one's down there in Jerusalem. And Jesus met. And this is amazing to me because it's why is his son so concerned about him being the king of the Jews? When Jesus is coming before Herod, the son of Herod the Great, he walks in and he says, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus says, it is as you say. This is an old battle. And his wife has a dream and says, this righteous man, have nothing to do with him. And he plays like he doesn't, but he continues, taking up the spirit of his father. And he even makes an inscription above his head on the cross, King of the Jews. And it's all burned back with that satanic work in his dad, come to kill. And it's followed through with in the Son. Isn't that amazing? Through that, we have the grace of God. Just when I saw this stuff, I said, I've got to just tell part of the Christmas story here. That to avoid all of that, do you know there's pain that God wants you to avoid in life? If you'll listen to Him, He'll say, get out now. And you go, I don't know. And wham! The Lord wants you to be humble because one of the traits is that you receive grace. And grace has to do with God's giving you protection and God giving you provision and God giving you direction and God giving you empowerment to live. To live and not die. And it takes a humble heart to respond to the voice of the Lord and achieve it. Are you there? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Alrighty, this is our last point is in here somewhere. There we go. This one, I want to look to the person next to you. Are you proudful or are you humble? Go ahead and ask somebody. Are you proudful? And I don't want to ask, don't turn it into a confessional right now or something. But that's to promote a humble spirit. Because in our own, if you're locked up in some things and you just, it's time to ask the Lord, Lord, is it an area of pride in my soul? I think the greatest Christmas present could be deliverance from pride. Just having the Lord break something loose in your own soul and set you in a place of a peaceful humility before Him because you allowed Him to do something in you. If you're running into something all the time and it's just this strife to you and pain to you, ask the Lord, do I have pride I need to deal with? Is that working for you? Because on the other side of it is peace, safety, provision, blessing. Because God opposes the proudful, but He gives what? Grace to the humble. Humility. He modeled it. Father God modeled it. Jesus modeled it. Joseph modeled it. Mary modeled it. Everybody in the story modeled a humble spirit. It's something for us to grab a hold of and say, I'm going to live that spirit this season. And ongoingly. Hallelujah. Number three, and we'll finish quickly here. A humble spirit receives honor. I don't want to take too much time on this little part, but I'll just say that Herod came and realized that he had been tricked by the wise men. He became furious, and he did send soldiers down to Bethlehem in that region, and every child 2 years old and younger he had murdered. And there was a fulfillment of that scripture. A voice was heard in Ramah, loud weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children, she refused to be comforted because they were no more. And look at this, guys, look at this. But when Herod died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in Egypt. Here it is again, saying, rise and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that, and this is the other brother, Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And look, here it is, the fourth dream. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, he would be called a Nazarene. You cannot fulfill scriptures by this way. You on your own, you can't make this stuff up. Every single place. We'll repeat the scripture here with me. The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. And look at this next one. One's pride will bring him low, but he who has a lowly in spirit will obtain honor. He who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. I want to say it this way, that Joseph received honor because everything you read about him in the Bible is honorable. He humbled his heart. He listened. He was correctable. He received the grace to accomplish God's will, just like you and I do. If we're teachable, correctable, receive the grace. And what follows that? Honor. He was an honorable man. And everything about him in the Bible shows that he's an honorable man. Isn't that wonderful? So the next question is, do you have an honorable name? Are you an honorable person? I wanted to tag on what we were talking about much earlier, and it really hit me around 4 years ago. Seems like a long time, but we said yes to the Lord regarding a building downtown. And guess what? I've finished this course every third Thursday from 10 to noon. I've gone to a course called Fairmount 101. And you learn about all the different parts of the city government, police department, fire department, building enforcement, you know, inspection, budget, all the stuff. Just more than I can remember. And last Thursday was our last meeting. And we had the city planner, city managers there, city planner. And the discussion came around about dilapidated buildings and old buildings and those kind of things and improvements. We'd already gone through that in one of the sessions, but we were bringing it up again and talking about the quality of life and how you improve an area. And the Holy Spirit made me aware of a point of obedience regarding responding to Him in that moment. And I said it out loud. And I said, 4 years ago, had we not responded to the Lord, that building would not have been saved. The water damage would have destroyed it by now. It would have been irreparable. The Lord was impressing upon me. It would have been over with. It would have been an eyesore and a big problem to the city. And the Lord was bringing me a point of, here's what happened. The city manager, the city planner, they both looked and said, yes, that's right. That's right. We know. Because of their view of the building and view of other things in the area, they know it would have been destroyed. And there was a sense of honor right in the moment. And you could feel the appreciation rise up in their heart. And the Lord wanted me to have that as a little gift. So you humbled yourself and you've gone to do something that, what are you doing this for? I've had the devil say it a bunch. I was in there about a couple of weeks back and I was by that Christmas tree and this enemy came in my mind and said, why are you even here? And I said, to cast you out, I guess. I'm not leaving. Because God has purpose. God has plans. And somebody's got to say yes to Him when it doesn't make any sense. When you don't know. When you keep coming up against stuff. And it's like, why are we... And He says, will you honor Me? Will you humble yourself and honor Me? Because I have things I'm going to do. And so I'm saying, yes, Lord. Everybody say yes to the Lord. Endeavoring to keep the spirit of the unity in the bond of peace, say yes to the Lord. Forbearing with one another, say yes to the Lord. Living a spirit of humility before one another, say yes to the Lord. With gentleness and patience, let's all say yes to the Lord. Because the Lord wants to bring glory about, and He's going to do that. I felt like the Lord was saying, you see all this happened here? I'm going to bring a spiritual thing stronger than that. All that happened yesterday, I'm going to bring My Spirit and blessing upon this place. You know why? Because it's a consecrated place. It was consecrated long before I was born. And I walked into a consecrated place that has purpose and mission. And we can submit to the Lord and walk in. Ready? Everybody say, with a humble heart. We'll receive correction. Receive the grace. And honor's on the way. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we just praise You. And thank You for all that You're doing in our hearts. And we bring them before You because obeying You like Joseph, sometimes you're not sure, but when you do, things work out to Your glory. And we're stewarding the grace of God among us as we walk this way. And we praise You for, let's just praise Him a minute. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. We humble our hearts and thank You for You're wiser than we are. And we thank You for all that You are and doing. And we give You glory. We give You glory. We give You all the glory. Amen.